We hear again of that most highly favored lady, dear Mary, when she received the message that she was to be the mother of the Christ. After she had heard that message from the angel, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." This is the text. Please be seated. This is impossible. This is impossible. You've likely said that a time or two in your life, haven't you? Or, I don't know, maybe you've said it a lot of times. But not to worry. You're not alone when the impossibilities of life have just wrung all of the hope out of you, and life has you saying, this is impossible. Abraham and Sarah said it when they were told that they were to become parents at an age well past retirement, well past when most people are dead. They thought the prospect of having a baby was so impossible that they even laughed at the promise. Impossible, they said. The Israelites said it when they were trapped between the Red Sea to the east and Pharaoh's chariots to the west, and they thought their goose was cooked. Escape from this? Impossible, they said. King Saul said it when a young man by the name of David stepped forward and said, "I'll fight that Philistine giant. I'll fight Goliath." And the king said, "You fight Goliath? With a slingshot and stones? Impossible. It'll never happen. Not in my lifetime." And you've been there too, haven't you? Too much month left at the end of your paycheck, and things look impossible. Too much left to do at work, and you hardly have seen the kids this week. You know the Bible tells you to love your neighbor, but it so happens your neighbor has this dog that barks outside your bedroom window to the wee hours of the morning. And those are just the easy ones. There is that grief that just won't let go. There is that love that was lost, or the bitterness and the resentment that just won't give way to forgiveness. Impossible. But before we get to all of that, I'm thinking this morning, as I read about this announcement to Mary, I'm thinking about the greatest impossible of all of them, the one from the gospel. Is there anyone here who can't identify with the person who asks this question? How can this be, since I am a virgin? You know, the idea of a child being born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age was impossible enough. But the idea of a child born to a virgin is impossible a thousandfold. Why, it would take nothing short of a miracle. How can this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? Is there any power on earth that can crack that kind of an impossibility? I'm sure there have been times in your life when you've thought that a miracle would be the only way for you to surmount your impossible circumstances. But for a virgin to have a baby, now you are entering authentic, supernatural, inexplicable, miracle territory. And yet I haven't even really got to the central point of this story yet. Because the significance of this story for us is not so much in the angel's question, or in the question of the angel, or the question of Mary. The significance is in the angel's response to her. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Now just let those words fall gently on your spirit this morning, like snow falling softly to the ground. Nothing shall be impossible with God. You heard my words, but did you hear what I said? Indulge me for just a second, would you please? This message is so important for our impossible circumstances that I want it to soak into you very deeply. So take a deep breath. Tell those nagging little voices in your head that are so loud at this time of the year especially, tell them to stay quiet for a few moments. You will tend to those voices later on. But take a deep breath, put all of that aside, and listen once again. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing. And then the angelic messenger ticks off this list of impossibilities that God is making possible. He says, Mary, your relative, Elizabeth, that old relative of yours, she's in the sixth month of her pregnancy. And Mary must have thought, that's impossible. And then the angel said, oh, but Mary, that's easy. In your case, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and His power will overshadow you. And that's how you're going to become pregnant. And Mary must have thought, impossible. A baby with both human and divine parentage? And then the angel said, well, there's more, Mary. The child to be born of you will be called holy. And Mary thought, oh, that's impossible. A holy child? No sin? No rebellion? No talking back? No disobedience? Holy? And the angel said, Mary, your child will be the Son of God. And Mary said, that's impossible. That would make me the mother of God's Son. And the angel said, Mary, nothing shall be impossible with God. And Mary, so favored of the Lord and so beautiful in her spirit, submitted to God's plan. And the impossible became possible. It was all part of a plan that God had hatched clear back in the beginning that would otherwise have been completely impossible. And that was to reconcile sinful people to a holy God. And you talk about impossible. When Joshua said farewell to the Israelites, just as they were getting ready to go into the promised land, you know, he had been with them by that time for 40 years or so. He had seen the golden calf in the wilderness. He had seen them carry the Israelites carrying around their Egyptian idols all those years. And all the griping and the complaining they did in the wilderness. He knew these Israelites. He knew what kind of people they were. And so just as he's bidding them farewell and they're ready to enter the promised land, he says to them, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. And by implication, he was saying, he is holy, but I know you guys. And you are definitely not holy. You cannot serve a holy God. And then he says, he is a jealous God. Jealous means that he will not tolerate the least violation of his law, because every violation of his law goes back to the first commandment, and it involves not loving, fearing, trusting God as you should. It's idolatry, and he will not have it. He's a jealous God. And we're no better than the Israelites. It's no more possible for us to serve a holy God than it was for them. No violations of his laws, not the least violation of his law. That's impossible. I can't even obey a speed limit. That's why Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But that's the point of the angel's message. Through Mary, God is giving this world the only suitable object of saving faith, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. John, the impossible child of Elizabeth and Zechariah, would prepare the way for His coming. And Jesus, the impossible Son of God and Son of Man, would be the only one in a position to mediate between God and man and to bring the holy God and sinful people together and to unite them, even as His divine and human natures are united in His flesh. And He would be holy, yes, impossibly, a holy child without sin. As strange as that must have been for Mary and Joseph to raise that kind of a child, but holy, that he might bear our sins one day to the cross. Our God is a God who cracks impossibilities and who saves sinners by nothing less than a miracle, the miracle of his redeeming grace. And now then, friends, I announce to you, as an angel announced to Mary, that you are highly favored of the Lord. You are highly favored, for the Lord has said that you are now holy in his sight. Can you believe that? Holy? That seems so impossible. I know the thoughts that go on in my mind. I know the words that come out of my mouth. I know the attitudes I have that are so rotten and that stress my relationships. I know all that's wrong with me. And yet God says, holy? Yeah. Yeah. Holy. You are holy in the forgiveness of your sins. You are highly favored of God. And that opens up all kinds of new possibilities in your relationship with God. The God who cracks impossibilities has now come to your side. He says, the Lord is with you. And now he says to you, nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing. If God could get the Israelites from one side of the Red Sea to the other on dry ground and rescue them, don't you think he's able to get you to the other side of your impossible situations? Maybe not with a miracle. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe not with a miracle. Maybe it's just with the encouragement of God's people or the normal flow of circumstances that he directs you to. But he'll get you to the other side of your impossibilities. If he could knock down the walls of Jericho with nothing more than the blast of a trumpet, don't you suppose he can break down the barriers that have been hindering your relationships? If he could work forgiveness in the heart of Joseph after the treachery of his 11 brothers, can't his grace work that same kind of impossible graciousness in you and in your heart? If God would give us his own son, do you think he's going to withhold anything from you that is truly right for you and good for you? It's Christmas time. And as those who have heard and believed this good news, it is now ours to respond with Mary and to say, I am your servant. Let it be unto me according to your word. Because in her holy child, in whom you have found favor, we now continue to receive the hope and the joy that strengthen us through all of those other situations that most people would say are impossible. But not with him. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Even as we remember certain individuals in our prayers today who have requested our prayers, would you please remember them in your personal prayers? We remember Bernadine Bukop, who is Elaine Hesterman's, Elaine's sister, a relative of Elaine Hesterman, who suffered a brain aneurysm and is hospitalized at St. V's. They've relieved the pressure, and she's making some improvements.